things happen to all of us in lifetime, that would be my first response. But slowly, as I started to just relax a little bit into myself, and the safer I felt in the context of...
So the big thing that I did was make that decision. You know, you will see and you will be astounded.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're doing a little something different. I've got two amazing recordings from two amazing women who have tackled their own health conditions in their own way. And first we're going to hear from Sheena Grob, who is a singer-songwriter, and then we're going to hear from Annie Poole, who is an author, and how she beat cancer. Because I wanted to share with you this idea of we can all know what we need to do. We can all tackle these issues the way we want to tackle them, and these two women surely have. So let me read Sheena's bio here. She is a self-professed songbird from the age of 2, a songwriter from the age of 10. She has 3 albums under her belt, a nomination for the Western Canadian Music Awards, and over 700 tour dates across Canada, the US, UK. She's an acclaimed singer-songwriter, teacher, and health coach. I happened to watch her TEDx talks from June of 2015, which was absolutely amazing. She was so transparent and so real, and I'll say raw, as she spoke about her health and how our lives are so fragile, and how she learned to battle her diagnosis of multiple sclerosis from the age of only 16. Sheena is now sharing explicit details on her health journey and teaching others a new system for alleviating subtle stress in the body that she herself has found life-changing. She credits the work of Dr. Doug Tentrian. I'm going to have to ask her if that's how we say that.
Tekaran.
Thank you, Sheena. And his bioemotive framework. Welcome, Sheena. Thanks for being on the Autoimmune Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, what a bio, I have to tell you. I've listened to some of your songs on iTunes. They're just gorgeous. And as I said in the introduction, I listened to your TED Talk about life being so fragile, and in so many things you shared, I could absolutely relate. So just tell the audience a little bit more about your story.
Yeah, looking back, I think there may have been some earlier signs even before 16, but when I was 16, I was very active in track and other sports, and music was my heart and my passion. I also challenged myself physically, and when I noticed that I was running on a warm day, I was running the track and my ankle kept rolling over on itself. My toes were kind of experiencing some numbness, and I thought that was quite strange. I wondered if maybe I'd pinched a nerve in my back, and I didn't really, react significantly at the time. I was pretty young, and I just thought, well, that was kind of strange. And then I noticed when I got in the shower after practice one day, I reached in and felt cold water with one hand and hot water with the other hand. And I'm like, wow, I don't think that's supposed to happen.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Fortunately for me, I mean, in some ways it was definitely a shock to the system to get the news so early, but saw a doctor, and my small town family doctor was quite diligent in getting some answers for me. And I was diagnosed very fast. By Christmas that year, we got the news on Christmas Eve. I remember it very clearly.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I was given the diagnosis. So from there it changed the game for sure.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine getting the diagnosis on Christmas Eve. It's bad enough getting the diagnosis at any time. I remember in your TED Talk,
I was nodding my head when you said something like, I heard the diagnosis and that's all I heard. So what happened after you got the diagnosis?
Well, immediately after, and I alluded to this in the talk a little bit, my attitude, my positive thinking and my really healthy upbringing with my family, that kicked in really fast. I adopted some healthy attitude around it. I tried my best to go forward without putting too much negative energy towards the idea that this could go a number of different ways and think positive, Sheena. And that really did help me for a time. Those were healthy tools to be using. And certainly for a lot of people, we understand that having a positive attitude can really affect how we experience our symptoms or the experience itself. But I definitely recognized later when I came to understand a few things about emotional processing, but I didn't really have the tools or the space or the knowledge to understand how to truly feel what that impact had on me. I had literally gone into a state of, I would imagine it was a state of shock, some kind of just hold it together, clench up my body, be strong for my family. Don't complain, don't worry, that's not going to help anything, you know? And so those beliefs and those were instilled fairly deeply into me, and I held on to that. And, you know, it worked for a long time. I went on the next number of years. I didn't really experience, my symptoms went away, accepted my doctor's recommendations, and I focused on my studies. A number of years later, in 2000, and I want to say 4 or 5, I woke up one morning and I had lost partial vision in one of my eyes. It was another reminder that this was still a part of my life that I hadn't fully accepted or acknowledged. My identity was so wrapped up in how positive an attitude I had and how well I could do in life no matter what. So again, I didn't sit down and I didn't feel sorry for myself. I didn't let it get me down, even though I was clearly struggling. But again, my conditioning was to just kind of power through and be as positive as I could. That was great. I'm not trying to discredit the power of positive thinking. It's so important.
Oh, I know. But I can see the downside to it. I tried to do that too right after my diagnosis. I don't think I held out as long as you did. At this point where you had your identity wrapped up in this positive attitude, I can see so many women doing that just to keep their family strong, or they don't want to, you know, harm their children's development or anything like that. My goodness. At what point did that all shift and you say, maybe there's a better way?
Well, the next relapse I had was the most challenging one for me. I had a lot on my plate at the time. I was burning the candle at all kinds of different ends, if that's possible.
I think most women are nodding their head on that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was Wonder Woman, we'll just say. I could do it all, and I did it with a smile. And one morning I just woke up and my body had said no. Everything stopped. My body forced me to stop. I had to approach my teaching committee and take a few weeks off for health reasons. I had to stop everything I was doing, and literally I just sat at home and I had nowhere to go but inside myself. It was a powerful moment going to my neurologist that week and saying, okay, give me the next medication, give me the next line of defense, like I'm ready for it. I've got, you know, I'm equipped with everything that I'm ready to do. Tell me what to do next. And looking at her in the face and seeing in her eyes that she didn't really have anything else to give me. And that moment was a changing moment for me. I can say that I never felt quite as alone as I did in that moment. But I also felt like, okay, this can't be the end of the road. This can't be the furthest point of knowledge that we have. And lucky for me, I had a friend in my life who had been through a lot in her own journey, who had luckily met this doctor that she introduced me to. And she said, Sheena, don't worry about the money, just go see what he has to say. And I was thinking in my mind, what does processing my emotions have to do with anything? Like I didn't really get it at the time that there would be almost like a mind-body-spirit connection that I hadn't yet really explored. And I didn't even really know how open to that I was. But something inside me went, you know, Sheena, like there's something more to this. And so I went.
This is just so fascinating to me. It's reminding me, if you've listened in to Dr. David Clark and to Sarah Payton's work, and we've just had several other people recently talk about this mind body, emotion, spirit connection, and how important that is to our thriving, regardless of our diagnosis. So when we come back from this quick commercial break, Sheena's going to share with us all about what she learned when she learned about bioemotive framework and how critical it was to her understanding what was going on with her and how it shifted everything for her. And this is so exciting when you hear this, guys. So just a couple of minutes. Thanks a lot.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. What I love about what I do here on the Autoimmune Hour is I get to talk to amazing people all the time. People like Sheena Grob, who's been through it. As she said earlier, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 16. And now she's sharing with us how she reached this turning point. So let's dive back in, Sheena, and find out, okay, what happened when you started to get this connection? There's more than just the physical body happening here.
Absolutely. Well, I can remember the first day that I met Dr. Dattarn. I walked into his office, and I remember feeling how strange it felt that I wasn't busy doing all these other things, that I was constantly looking after other needs or looking after expectations that were placed on me. I looked at him and I sat down and he asked me why I was there. Why did I think I was there?
I guess I understand the question, but I think my brain would probably go, look at the chart.
I just unfolded with tears. And I just, the very first thing that came to my mind is that I've never taken time like this for myself before. I have never given myself an hour in the company of someone who's just listening to me and supporting me in this moment where I get to express like how scary it's been or how hard or how difficult. And that alone was a changing moment, just to feel my body's response to that kind of self-care coming from myself. I knew something special was about to happen for me. And within three sessions of working with my emotions a little bit and learning about how to listen to what I was feeling, because at the beginning, like I almost bypassed my own emotions. Ask me what feeling is active in your body right now, like in your stomach. If you had a feeling associated with circumstances that you're going through right now, what would it be? So often my response would be, well, I feel fine. Like, you know, things happen to all of us in life, and that would be my first response. But slowly, as I started to just relax a little bit into myself, and the safer I felt in the context of being able to explore what I was sitting with, I was slowly able to learn and develop a language around truly feeling the root of what I was actually going through. And for me, I've also discovered through some of this work with Dr. Tatar and others that the language of emotions is something that many of us haven't been taught, you know, given to us in school, the way that, you know, you're instructed how to ride a bike or you're instructed how to play baseball or basketball, you're given coaching in those areas because we have an understanding of the importance of those areas of our brain. But up until this point, there's been so little understanding on the importance of being able to develop a language around what we experience with our emotions.
I know what you mean. I can think of so many times just in my own world, and all these different voices go through my head where it's like, our girls don't cry, you know, buck up, here, have a cookie, you'll feel better.
Absolutely.
But nothing around giving a voice to, I feel sad right now. Wow, this sounds like amazing work. Let's dive in some more.
I was fascinated by just learning about my own deficits in this area and realizing that I had two beautiful, wonderful, loving, supportive parents. And my mom was a teacher and a counselor herself. So if I, as a child, was not getting these tools given to me, who is? It was kind of what I'm thinking, right? And so I started to understand the importance of getting to the root of what I was feeling, and also learning that I was this time 22, 23 years old. I had already experienced so many years of, not every negative experience in my emotional body had to be extremely traumatic, but go through school and you feel rejected because a certain group of people isn't inviting you to a party or something. And the impression that might leave with you at a young age ends up being an impression taken about who you are.
Absolutely. And then you add on to that a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
Absolutely.
I can think of the usual high school angst.
Yeah.
But then you add on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if you've, Sharon, if you've had an experience that you can relate to on this level, but I remember having an experience in grade 7 that was so significant to me. It was such a traumatic moment in my life, something I would never forget about my school experience.
Oh, absolutely. You took, just asking me that question, I went right back to fifth grade. So.
Yeah, right? So I think for so many of us, we would be asked that question. Can you remember one significant moment from your schooling experience, your early childhood, that just had such an effect on you in some way? And if you think about like how that was maybe handled within yourself, or whether or not it even was, maybe it was buried, maybe it was a secret, maybe it was something that you just put your head down and surged through and didn't really give it its proper acknowledgement or process. And imagine the impact that can have on someone years later. That early experience in about grade 7 for me was so traumatic and so deeply felt in my body. I can remember it happening, and I almost felt like this hot wave of shame and sadness roll through my body. And it was a physical experience, and one that just I felt for days and months after, but that slowly I had just begun to live a little differently around that memory. And my body kind of protected me from having to re-experience it over and over again. And eventually, I just became a different version of myself in the world, not really something that everyone else around me could pick up on. But I know that it had happened, and I know that I was just doing my best to move forward in life. And in doing some of this work with Dr. Tatarn, I realized that I had taken in some impressions about myself after that event that had not only shaped kind of almost like a contact lens that I was looking at myself through, but it also became this impression around how I was interacting with others. I mean, without going into great detail about my own personal experience, I mentioned that in this context with those listening, truly feel. And I don't necessarily think that this was the root and the cause of my multiple sclerosis. I know I'm a science brain, so I understand that there's many factors that play into an outcome that's significant. But I certainly know that if my body, if there is such a thing as stress affecting the body and manifesting different symptoms in our body, some of those early memories I can think back on absolutely could have played a part in what ended up taking form later in life for me.
We've had Dr. David Clark on, and his book, So They Say There's Nothing Wrong, I think that's the title of it, something like that, folks. Email me if you want me to give it to you, the right title. And he talks about his life work, working with 7,000 patients on what he calls adverse childhood experience, and how it can manifest itself, how it does manifest itself in a wide variety of physical symptoms. Now, he doesn't say it causes autoimmune, but it can cause inflammation, it can cause breakdowns of the cells, it can cause other types of things that can exacerbate or help along the autoimmune condition. It didn't have to be just childhood trauma. If you are experiencing any sort of trauma now, he talked about post-traumatic stress disorder as an adult, he's seen can cause physical manifestations.
Sharon, it's become part of my life's work to share about it because it has been so impactful. I've always been a scientist. I've always been an empath. As a singer-songwriter, I started writing songs when I was 10 years old after my grandmother passed away, because that emotional expression was just, that was the only thing that could capture the ache that I was experiencing after losing her. When all of these factors in my life started to come together and make so much sense for me, and literally the physical experience in my body was showing me the truth of it. It was just so clear that I needed to open up my experience to others around me who might be going through similar things. Because what I find so interesting about even the mechanism of an autoimmune disease, literally our bodies are, in a sense, attacking themselves. When you think about the concepts of self-love or self-forgiveness or self-compassion that go along with so many of these stories that we've taken in as children, to me, it really is magnified in the fact that the mind, body, spirit, emotional connection, all of those things, they dance together so beautifully. I can't speak for everyone with MS or other struggles of the physical, but I know for myself that I have been strengthened by the ability to learn about this inner world so well. And I've always known that despite what path my health goes down, my physical abilities, that as I strengthen my inner world, as I strengthen the relationship with myself and with my heart and with my emotions, those are skills that will serve me at any point on this journey. They will strengthen me despite the challenges that I may experience or may not. So there's the fact that I'm experiencing that they're actually helping with the physical symptoms. I haven't felt so good in many, many years as I do right now. And I do truly.
Bravo.
Yeah. I eat healthy. I exercise. I strengthen my body. It has kept me strong in a very special, unique way. So I want nothing more than to share that with people who might need it the most.
Oh my goodness. Now, we're just about out of time. We just have a few minutes left. But you said the constant cleaning out of your emotions, which is a fabulous way to say it. I love that. If you could share a few tips that you've learned through your experience, and someone was brand new to this, what would be the first thing? Because I can hear some people going, huh?
Absolutely. Well, for one thing, if you can remember the last time you were emotionally triggered, like say, for example, you watched a movie and you were crying, you didn't even understand why you were crying, but you were moved to tears. Or maybe you were experiencing a situation in your life with your loved ones that you became more upset than is characteristic of you in some way. Those are all examples of your emotional system being activated and a feeling being really present and almost ripe for the picking. If you were to sit down and really dissect what it is you're feeling, those moments of activation, I call them, Doug calls them, that's a term we've been using, it's a really good time to sit in reflection and to breathe into your body, see where that feeling is active. Sometimes, just like butterflies in the stomach when we're nervous, our feelings tend to dance in our torso. So the more we can sit in reflection with our body in moments where we are activated, that's a really beautiful time, a critical time to start to dissect the emotional system. That means your emotional brain is open, essentially.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. And go ahead and say your website.
Yeah, my website is www.sheenagrob.com. And if you sign up for my mailing list and send me a little note that you heard me on the Autoimmune Hour, I'll send you a free download of my latest album, The Breakless Heart, which is really good music to help tap into our emotions a bit more.
And also tell them the wonderful story, if you would, about, I'm going to mess up the name, I'm sorry, Get Out Alive.
Yeah.
And that wonderful story.
Yeah. So a number of years ago, part of the reason why I've started to talk about my health a little bit more, I spent 14 years not wanting to share with the music community that I had MS. I was afraid that that would hinder my career and that others wouldn't trust to want to work with me as a musician. So I was kind of trapped in a prison of silence for a while around it. And then I got a call from a woman, her name is Lindsay Nelko, and she was a choreographer for So You Think You Can Dance, a very famous TV show where dancers, you know, put together beautiful works of art to different music. And she said, Sheena, I would love to make a music video for one of your songs. And I was blown away. I said, of course, like, whatever you'd like. And I asked her if she wanted something off my latest album, thinking that that's what she was alluding to. And she said, no, it's a song I heard back in 2010 when I was going through a really hard time. And I typed the word alive into iTunes and your song came up. It's called Get Out Alive. And Sharon, I almost dropped the phone.
It was like
if the universe was trying to tell me to speak up about my health journey, it was this moment, because out of the hundreds of songs I'd written since I was 10, that was the one song that I wrote during the time when I was paralyzed and I didn't know if I'd ever play music again. And it was my soul's cry to get out of this physical prison and emotional prison I'd found myself in, and just to break free and become alive. And so when she asked me to describe that song and what it was about to her dancers, I knew that this is now the moment that I needed to come clean about what I'd gone through, and because I think others out there might truly benefit from hearing it. And I knew that then more than ever. So on I go. I have three albums that, if people are interested, they're on iTunes or off my website. I sign CDs if they're ordered through my website, and I tend to have a bit more of a relationship with people who contact me directly. So that's always lovely. It's my life's work. These songs have been like children to me, so I'm always so grateful to get to share them.
You guys, you have to go listen to them. And I'm going to spell out her name. So it's Sheena, S-H-E-E-N-A, Grob, GROBB.com. Thank you so much, Sheena, for sharing with us your story.
And we'll be right back with Annie Poole right after this quick commercial break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, and now it's my pleasure to welcome Annie Poole, the author of the book Passport to Life. Very fascinating story. Bit tangential to what we normally talk about, but her story is so profound, so amazing. I just call it like a miracle. Who knows? Whatever your
belief systems are, this has to kind of fall into who cares, it worked, right? That's how I always think about things. And she's an international best-selling author. Her book is called Passport to Life, How I Overcame Incurable Cancer Through the Power of Travel. Now, right, see, incurable cancer, see where I said that was a little tangential? But man, if you can overcome incurable cancer, I bet. Let's have her on and find out the amazing things she did, because even if we see an incremental healing or thriving in feeling better in our autoimmune condition, as I say, woohoo, go for it, right? So anyway, in 2013, Annie was diagnosed with incurable cancer, and she turned an insurmountable obstacle into an opportunity. Drawing on her life-changing travels abroad, Annie daily visualized her cancer journey as an exciting travel experience. Within less than 6 months, she changed her incurable cancer diagnosis into a passport to life and became completely cancer-free. Now, isn't that an amazing story? Now you know why I needed Annie on the show. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you, Sharon. It's such a pleasure to be here on your show today.
You know, when I read your story, I was like, just shocked, amazed. I mean, I'm not surprised, though. I mean, I've heard of these kinds of things before, and there is more and more evidence mounting for all different types of varieties, all alternative treatments for it. But first, let's tell us a little bit about your story. What a traumatic shock to be diagnosed.
Well, first of all, I was working on a dream, Sharon. So to hear the news that I had incurable cancer just came at really bad timing for me.
Well, I think so, it's always bad timing.
Well, yeah, it's always bad timing. This is true.
What was the dream?
Well, I'd come back from Italy and Ireland. I had taken my two adult kids on a site inspection tour of Ireland, and then we went on to Italy. So we had just packed in tons into that two-week period and came back on a big happy high. And shortly afterwards, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
Now, at first, I thought it was stage one, and at the time I thought, oh, I can do this. That's no problem. Been through a lot more than that.
I think a lot of us with autoimmune are laughing with you, not at you, because I've heard that over and over before. Been through more than that.
Yeah. So then the big diagnosis came when I had just undergone surgery, and that was in the fall of 2013. And I was really just coming to in the recovery room. And when I opened up my eyes, I saw my surgeon standing right by my bed. She had her arms folded and she was just looking at me very intently. But for myself, I thought, well, this must be good news, you know, that she's standing at my bedside so soon after surgery. So she started to say to me, your surgery was successful. I removed the cancerous tumor from your abdomen. But she said, the cancer has spread to the lymph in the upper aorta. It's stage 3C4. And then she said the words that just took the air right out of the room. She said, and it's incurable. My eyes locked onto hers at that point and didn't say anything for probably about a minute. And then I just said to her, can you please repeat that to me? Because just the way she said it, I didn't think she'd have the courage to say that to me again. She said it again. Yes, it's incurable. And then with that, she turned around and walked out of the room. Now, it sounds terrible, but really what she had given me in that moment was truly the greatest gift of my life, which might be hard for most people to understand. Especially being in that condition where you're so vulnerable and you're being left alone in a room hearing that you're about to die. But the gift was she just lit a fire underneath my you-know-what so big that I thought to myself a bunch of swear words first. and then I thought, just you wait and see. You are going to be astounded because I'm not going to die. I am going to live, and I'm not only going to live, I'm going to take cancer and find a way to thrive with cancer.
Wow.
That truly was the gift that she gave me, because if she had held my hand and said, you know, listen, dear, hate to break this news to you, I don't think I would have had such a passion to undertake this in the same way.
one of the reasons I know why you and I responded so well together, because what you just told me is what I've always been called myself, and that was polarity responder. And that's like, I'll show you, regardless of anybody putting obstacles in your way. But, you know, I'm not sure I recommend that. I work a lot with medical professionals on how to deliver bad news. And that only works with polarity responders. Hopefully she knew you were one, because, my goodness, I can see how that could really just throw somebody into an absolute tailspin instead of lighting your tail on fire.
Yeah, but she just happened to have a polarity responder in the room, so.
Well, thank goodness for that. But I just want people to understand what a polarity responder is. It's where you get your hackles up and you just go, I'll show you. And it propels you forward at amazing speed because you're going to prove a point.
Yes.
It sometimes works, you know. It absolutely works. I can point to numerous times in my life. Luckily, nothing like this. Luckily, it was more getting promotions at jobs and opportunities, things like that. But so, okay, now you've got this diagnosis. You're lying there in bed. You've got your tail lit on fire, which is good. Then what happens next? I mean, this is just amazing to me. You knew you were going to beat it, but how did you start to figure out how to beat it?
Well, I had been listening to a number of radio programs prior to this, probably for about a past year and a half. One of them was Daniel Gutierrez, his program called Awakening to Abundance. Another was Deborah Poneman and her Yes to Success blog show. So I was really getting a lot of inspiration from them. And I did come to realize that there are a few things you needed to do in order to change your life. So the big thing that I did was make that decision. You know, you will see and you will be astounded. And then the next thing I did in the hospital was I started to create lists. I started to write down why I wanted to be alive. So it wasn't going to be for my two adult children. As much as I love them, I could see, you know, in the not so distant future, they would have lives of their own. And then what am I left with? So I started to make lists of the places that I wanted to go to, the people that I wanted to meet, the kinds of experiences that I wanted to enjoy, right down to a little thing like seeing Bruce Springsteen live in Dublin.
I love it. Well, you cannot get too clear sometimes when you're trying to manifest these things. You absolutely have to know what you're aiming for. So I love that.
Yeah, so I haven't seen Bruce Springsteen yet, but it's coming.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, see, the part is the in Dublin. I mean, I could see seeing Bruce Springsteen might, you know, be able to chase that down, but that part in Dublin, my goodness, that is really going to take some manifesting. But let's move forward. So you made some decisions and you created these lists of everything you wanted, very specific lists, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
Another list I ended up creating, you know, over time, was I wanted to have zero side effects from my chemo treatments. I wanted to have good energy after my chemo treatments, to have a healthy, thick, full head of hair and glowing, youthful complexion. So these were lists that I then taped onto my bathroom mirror and I looked at them at intervals during the day. One of the other pieces was I meditated. Like I went deep within on a regular basis to ask to see the journey. Like, where am I going with this? And in my meditations, now I had come to the point where I was also writing a book at the time that I went to Ireland and Italy with my two adult kids. The book that I had been writing was How to Overcome the Post-Vacation Blues. So it was about travel. And I was writing this book because I had experienced some very life-changing travel experiences. I had come back to Victoria and my life really tanked at that time. I just fell into a classic case of the post-vacation blues. So it was so acute that I started to mine those travel experiences for the gold nuggets that would help me get my life back on track again. I came to realize that this would help other people with their own experiences. Going back to my meditations then, that's what I came to realize, was that if I could apply those principles that I had been writing about in this book to my cancer journey, then, well, A, that would make a really good book, and B, if I was successful, that would really make a good book that would make me healthy, of course.
Yeah.
That's what I came to do. I just started to apply the principles of travel to my journey. since it was a self-imposed time off with cancer for an indefinite period of time.
Now, I think most people don't realize here, I want to just throw this in, because you didn't really travel anywhere during this cancer. This was all meditation visualization, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I didn't go anywhere. It wasn't recommended. You know, when you have chemo, you're not encouraged to go anywhere because you can likely pick up different diseases very quickly. Even the common cold potentially kill you.
Right, yeah.
So I didn't go anywhere. You're right, Sharon. What I did was I knew what it felt like to be on this wonderful experience in Italy or Ireland. So each day I did little things that helped me feel like I was still on that journey. And part of that was using music or going to a little cafe that helped me pretend that I was, you know, watching the stylish go by in a piazza, you know, drinking a cappuccino. Just those little things that helped to, or make my life, I should say, feel like I was on an adventure rather than this soul-sucking journey of having to go through cancer treatments.
Oh my goodness. So let me just ask a few clarifying questions here. So obviously during your meditations, you could sort of replay the movie in your mind of the beautiful scenery or the artwork or statues or the, you know, the wind in your hair kind of thing. Were you visualizing this lovely cappuccino, or did you actually take the time to make yourself a little cappuccino and just enjoy the whole experiential taste and the heat of the coffee and all of that?
Well, that's a good question. What I did actually, and I had a condo that I ran as a vacation rental condo. So I was right in the heart of downtown Victoria, which is touristy. So I could just step out and pick something that felt like, oh, a bunch of tourists are here. I'm one of them. And here I am just enjoying this little cappuccino and pretending I'm in Italy or Ireland.
Oh, that's so cool. So as you begin to do this, did you share it with your medical professionals? Because I know in my own autoimmune journey that when I shared certain things I was doing, and none of them far out, this might be a little farther out. I mean, I shared one that I was eating organically, and he had looked at me in all seriousness, said, none of that's going to help. Which then immediately made the little evil twin on my left shoulder pop up and said, see, you could go eat that fast food. But anyway. But did you share this with the people in your world, especially the health professionals, and how did they react?
I didn't share it with the health professionals. Like you said, I experienced something similar, you know, when I talked about supplements or going to a naturopath. So I knew from going back to listening to Deborah Poneman or Daniel Gutierrez, I knew that you have to be so careful when you're manifesting a dream. You have to be so careful not to share it with the wrong people that could stomp all over it. And like you said, you know, make you go back to defaulting to your old ways.
Yes. And that's so true. And it doesn't have to be just medical professionals. I've been pretty lucky in my world, but every so often I bump into some curmudgeon who looks at me and says, well, why are you doing that, whether it's taking a bath every night with my favorite music on? You know, it's crazy how you can just trigger some people when you're doing something slightly different. And as far as visualizing this travel and enjoying going, stepping out and enjoying the experience, I can't really see any downside to it. Well, tell me a little bit more about, as you began to do these, how quickly did you start to see change?
Well, I started to just feel happier. I started to really feel at peace, and something I hadn't felt for a long time was just really being present in my body. Those were probably the very most important things.
Wow. Happy. I find so many people say that it's hard to be happy, but they have found so many life-changing things happen at happy, at peace, and present in your body. We need to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be back in just a minute and find out how Annie was happy. I mean, sometimes you have to force yourself to be happy from my perspective, but we'll check in with her at that after this quick commercial break.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts Program. with Om Times experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. Tonight, we're talking to Annie Poole. Annie, what are some of the things that you did during your visualization? What were some of the things that you did to keep it up? Because sometimes we can be doing something and we start to get feeling good and then we slip into our old ways.
Music was really a big part of it, Sharon. I would find music that reminded me of those travel experiences because music is a very powerful motivator. It's a very powerful mood changer as well. Make it part of your regular routine that you find a song every day that lifts your mood, and the words are very powerful to help you with your manifestations. So if I can give an example of that, and you'll have to pardon my poor Italian, an example of that is a song by Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, I love him.
It's called Nessun Dorma. My sister had given me this little angel figurine, something that you can put on your Christmas tree. So I kept it near my bed and looked at it first thing in the morning. And I would play Nessun Dorma. And at the end, when he comes to that big sweeping crescendo and he's singing Vincerà, that means I will win. So I would look at that little angel, and at the moment when Vincerà, and think, yes, I'm going to win. Look for ways to make the music really help you step into the emotion of what you want to experience.
Mm. You know, I think that's critical, is the emotions that we place during our whole process of healing and thriving. And I love that music, and then you actually stepped outside in what more beautiful place
than
Victoria, absolutely. and things. What else happened?
Well, and this is something else somebody going through a journey with a chronic illness can do, is I bought something that helped me bridge the world I had left behind, which was the world pre-cancer, and the world that I was reaching for, which was the special world, the land of my dreams is what I call it. And it's just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She had those little ruby red slippers that took her from the ordinary world of Kansas to the world of her dreams. I looked for something like that as well. So what I ended up buying was something that I could picture myself wearing in Italy or Ireland, sitting at a cafe in a piazza, sipping a cappuccino. I bought a pair of skin-tight blue sequined pants, and I wore them to the grocery store just around the downtown area during the day. And how that helped was, first of all, you feel much better when you are wearing something that that elevates your mood, that makes you feel elegant and classy and beautiful, as opposed to feeling tired and grungy. And the other thing is, when I would wear those sparkly pants, especially at a time when I had chemo, I just felt glamorous. I didn't feel like a cancer patient. You've just had chemo. That really helps to make you feel as though you are moving in the right direction.
That's amazing. I love the blue sequin pants. I know, you know, you didn't quite use that word bravery, but to me, that this whole thing about healing is bravery. To me, is a huge part of healing. Being brave enough to do whatever it takes to get to where you want to go is always profound to me.
You get to a point, I think, with your illness where you will do whatever it takes. It's not just force of sheer will. It's more about really wanting to be who you really are now. Just letting go of all of the conversation that's in your head. It's so important to step into your authentic self, to really embody who you really are now. Because that's what critical illness tends to do in these situations, is to, in order to love yourself, you really have to be honoring to yourself. And the biggest piece of that is to really ask yourself every day, who am I and what do I really want to do? So for me, when I traveled to Italy and Ireland, I just really love to dress up and feel part of the well-heeled crowd, you know, that's going by on the piazza. So there's nothing that gives me greater joy than to dress up.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like so much fun. And we hear this step into our authentic self, and sometimes I hear from people, they don't know what that means or it frightens them. What are some tips that you use to step into your authentic self? Because sometimes that can seem scary.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely can feel scary. I think the biggest thing is just to ask yourself every day, what do I want to do? What would bring me joy, actually, is a good question to ask. And just to stay present with that until the answer comes. And it could be something very simple. I want to go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee right now. And as you practice that more and more, you will get more and more answers about how to honor that part of you.
I think that's so profound. Honor that part of you is so profound. Well, this has just been fantastic. Your story is amazing. Share with us the end. We just have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that everyone has the information on how to get a hold of you and your book. But obviously, it wasn't incurable because this was in 2013. So share with us when you went back to the doctor and went, ta-da. So what happened?
Well, first I did something very brave, I guess. But it had to do with a song that I played over and over again. And that was a song by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, there's the connection. There's the connection.
Okay. Yes, there's the connection. The song was Meet Me at Mary's Place. And if you listen to the song, especially on this one DVD, he builds the song to this peak high point where it's about meeting someone at Mary's place and he's going to have a big party. I threw myself a big I kick cancers, you know what, and turned 50 party. And invited 150 people. 75 of them showed up. And then a week later, I went to the doctor and she gave me the all clear. But at that point, when I was at the party, I still was dealing with some shreds of doubt. But just stepping into that celebratory energy really helped. To answer that question, that's when I got the all clear, was a week later. But prior to that, I had felt just this change in my body, that I was no longer in the land of cancer, you know, with this life-threatening illness, but I really felt whole and healed again.
I love that, in the land of cancer. It, just those words alone show it as a journey, and that there's a entrance and an exit. You know, there's always another county line somewhere, a state border, whatever yeah. We want to say, that you can move into. Fantastic. Just really quickly here before we run out of time. So you go back, you go to the doctor. What do they say? Are they just in shock or disbelief?
They recommended 45 to 60 cycles of radiation.
Wow.
Which I then declined. Just to be sure, to make sure that it doesn't come back again. Taking the vacuum cleaner after you've swept and mopped the floor. Maybe, I don't know.
and so you declined, and that was in 2013, right?
That was in 2014.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So the last they looked at me was as though I would never be alive again on the face of the earth. But here I am.
Here you are. Ta-da! In all your glory and your blue sparkle pants. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So tell the audience more about your website, how to find your book, because, you know, guys, it's a great book. It, you know, as you can tell, it's sort of one of these stories where you don't really believe it at first, but read the book, you'll believe it, because it's like, wow, really, she cured herself through the power of travel, and she really never left her neighborhood, so to speak. So anyway, Annie, tell us your website and how to find out more about you and your book.
Thank you. I'd be happy to. The book is on my website, which is www.anniepoole.com.
Great. Anniepoole.com. Just like it sounds, folks. And thank you so much for being my guest on the Autoimmune Hour.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.